You. And if you can just put your instruments over there next to my chair. We don't need those anymore. Good musical making, though. And big thanks to Kathy Watson for those instruments. Those are all hers. So we thank her for that. Okay, awesome. Friends, what day is it? What day is it?
Christmas Eve.
It's Christmas Eve. How are you feeling? What are some of the feeling words that you have? Is anyone feeling excited? Any other feelings? What else are we feeling? Happy? Feeling happy? Yeah, it's an exciting time, and we've, in our kids' corner, we've counted down. We've had a special chain where we've used each week to count down the days, and now we have only one day. Right? One more day, and then Christmas is going to be tomorrow. So I have a story to share with you. You interested in it? If I can get this microphone. Is there a way of opening it? Does anybody know? Help a sister out. Thanks. I just want to put the microphone into it. Yeah. The microphone is too big, but Dave's my man, so it's all good. Okay, cool. Okay, the story is called Room for a Little One. Claire, do you mind taking a seat? Set the folks behind you. Okay. And you're going to notice that some of the images are up at the front, too, so everyone can join along. Here we are. So it was a cold winter's night. Kind Ox lay in his stable close to the side of the inn. Oh, we're gonna meet a new character. Old Dog came by. He stopped and looked in the stable. I need somewhere to rest, said Old Dog. Come inside, Kind Ox said. There's always room for a little one here. Old Dog came in and lay down in the straw. He nestled close to Kind Ox, sharing the warmth of his stable. Stray Cat peered in. She saw Old Dog and she stopped.
Sorry.
That's okay. This is classic. This is what it is to be in community, right? She saw Old Dog and she stopped. Stray Cat arched her back and her fur bristled. I'll not chase you, said Old Dog. Do cats normally chase dogs? So Cat's a little worried. Come inside, Kind Ox said. There's always room for a little one here. Stray Cat came into the stable. She curled up in the straw, close to the friends she had found, purring and twitching her tail. Look at Old Dog's face. He's a little surprised. Small Mouse stopped at the door of the stable. She saw Stray Cat and she quivered with fear. You're safe here. I won't harm you, said Stray Cat. Come inside, Kind Ox said. There's always room for a little one here. Small Mouse scurried in. She nestled down warm in the straw, in the peace of the stable. Yes, that's where she is, Victoria. Can you guys see the mouse?
Yeah.
Well, it's a little tricky. There she is. There's the mouse. There she is. Then Tired Donkey came. Ah, do we know these people? Joseph led him along. Mary rode on Tired Donkey's back. Joseph was cold and Mary was weary. She was tired. But there was no room in the inn. You know this story, Rebecca. Where will my baby be born? Mary asked. "Come inside," kind ox called to the tired donkey. "There's always room for a little one here." Tired donkey brought Mary into the stable. Joseph made her a warm bed in the straw to save her from the colds of the night. And so Jesus was born with the animals around him: kind ox, old dog, stray cat, small mouse, and tired donkey. There's the mouse. All welcomed him to the warmth of their stable. That cold winter's night, beneath the star's light, a little one came for the world. So that's the story. That's our story. Is it a familiar story? We know this story. And so I love that in this stable, there was always room for a little one, right? And so in this season of fullness, friends, I pray that you make room for a little one, that you make room for Jesus in your hearts and in your lives. And we're excited that you're going to be with friends, you're going to be with family, and you're going to eat yummy food and maybe even get some gifts. But I hope that you can pause and make room for Jesus in this time, because that's the reason that we celebrate. So thanks for listening carefully. Pastor Steve has something that he wants to share with you, but one more instruction is just to leave your musical instrument here when you're done.
Thanks, Rach. Okay, before you go back, just wanted to say one thing and then give one thing, which you're probably going to be interested in. So you guys have been learning about Mary, so there's the poster of Mary back there. You wrote some words describing her, and then you talked about reasons why you might say no to God, and then you put your handprint, and maybe many of you will be able to find your handprint on that poster, of reasons you'd say yes to God. And we're one day away from Christmas, and Christmas is important because it's the day that God gave the greatest gift that he could have possibly given to us, and that was Jesus. And at Christmas time, we give and we receive gifts from each other. We do that because we're happy, because we love each other, and to remember God's greatest gift to us. So we have a gift for you this morning. Rachel will help a little bit. I want you to take one. You can open it. You can open it right here and actually leave all the wrapping paper right there instead of spread all around. Everyone gets the same gift. It's not a big gift, and it's not an expensive gift, but hopefully it will be helpful this morning. So now I'm a bit talking to the parents. So there's no Sunday school this morning, so you're on the hook with your kids for the next half hour. So we gave them a gift that we thought they would engage them a little bit as I bring a message through the rest of the service. So kids, when you're at your seat, go ahead and use it, play with it, make something. Make lots of different things. May it keep you busy and active. Use it to show your joy, thanks, or just to have fun. So Merry Christmas, Gathering Kids. We love you. You can go back to your seat. If there are any older kids who are like, "Oh, I'm too old for the children's story," but now you're like, "Oh man, I wish I would have come forward," feel free to come on up and grab one of these. There's tons of these left. And if you're a kid at heart and you just want to play with some Play-Doh, feel free to do that. There's nursery as well. We kept the nursery, so feel free to duck out for nursery. So as soon as the children get settled, we have a special presentation.
I have traveled many moonless nights, cold and weary, with a baby inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a I am frightened by the load I bear in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be together, be forever near me, breath of heaven, breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy, breath of heaven. As you watch my face, if a wiser one could have my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy together, be forever near me, breath of heaven, breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Together, be forever near me, breath of heaven, breath of heaven, light in my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy, breath of heaven.
Thank you for that, that emotional, intense portrayal of Mary. And this morning we gather together to praise God for his greatest gift, his son, Jesus Christ. We praise him because he has new gifts in store for us, his children. When you were a child, perhaps like me, or like my son this morning, I should have asked him to come up and preach a little bit, but you're filled with excitement on Christmas Eve, that tomorrow morning, gifts will be opened. So this morning, my kids got a little thing that said that they could open a Christmas present on Christmas Eve, one, and it blew their minds, and they went insane. And they just wanted it to be nighttime. They just wanted to skip this whole day. So excited. You know, and I remember it would be hard to get to sleep the night before Christmas. But you wanted so badly to, because that would make Christmas morning come that much quicker. Larry Wilde says, "Never worry about the size of your Christmas tree, because in the eyes of a child, they are all 30 feet tall." It's a little poem. The bulbs, the tinsel, the lights he sees, all lit upon that Christmas tree. The snow, the presents, the food, such fun, all excited the little one. Santa, the reindeer, the elves, all the toys on the shelves, the choo-choos, the trucks, trolleys, and so much more, all laid out, displayed on the floor. The excitement in his eyes as Christmas grows near, what a joy it is to see on his face the cheer. His eyes, how they sparkle, he smiles, how his face does beam, all the excitement, the joy, and happiness it brings. Christmas seen through the eyes of a child. And the author is unknown, or I'd give him the credit. At some point, however, that excitement, the excitement of receiving gifts, tends to lessen a little bit. I was even talking to somebody earlier where you kind of go through a little bit of a depression because you long for that excitement, but it just doesn't last the same way. The magic kind of wanes a little bit. Sorry, little ones, it does happen. But hopefully it gets replaced by the excitement of giving, of watching others receive what we've thoughtfully picked out for them and then wrapped up just so. There's magic in that as well. There's great joy in giving. Through generous giving, we actually experience our inner divine selves, the authoring that God has put in us. We were made to be like God, to be givers, because he is a great giver. Our Father delights in giving us good gifts. He longs for us, as Rachel said, to make more room for those gifts in our spirits, hearts, and minds. And Jesus, when teaching about how we can receive God's gifts, he tells a story. He tells a story about winemaking. He said that no one would use an old wineskin. If you don't know what a wineskin is, just think canteen. You might not even know what that is. Canteens aren't used a lot around here, but just something like a piece of leather that holds stuff. So these wineskins, no one would use an old one to put new wine in because the old wineskin would have already been stretched to the limit. So the leather is alive and it actually stretches. And it would become brittle because the old wine had already fermented inside it. So then the new wine would come in and need more space to expand. It would actually split that dried out leather and both would be wrecked. So he uses this metaphor to talk about God's Holy Spirit, a good gift, and how people actually need to be made new in order to receive that Holy Spirit. The gift cannot be received unless there is newness for the Spirit to inhabit. And on Christmas morning, we give gifts, new things to each other. Some of you might get new clothes, new toys, new candy, chocolate, new gift certificates. Do we believe that there are also new things that God wants to give you this Christmas? Things that are unwrapped, things that have yet to be received by you. Now, after the wrapping, unwrapping frenzy, so if you could see it up here, you could. There's a couple more things that have to happen. So after the buzz wears off, so you've gotten all these new things and you're high on the excitement of receiving and giving, you have to do two more things.
And I'll give you a bit of a hint. You're not as excited to do these two things. The first is you have to clean up the mess. And then the second is you have to find space to put the new things that you've just been given. And that could be stressful. Do you have new room for the new things you're about to get on Christmas morning? And do you have space in yourself to put what God wants to give you into you? Is there room in? So verse 6 of Luke 2, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room, no guest room, available for them. So there was no room for Jesus. And this is an often mentioned detail in the Christmas story. We usually refer to it as an inn, which, you know, I don't really have a problem with. It's okay if you call it an inn. But it was probably more like a family home, like Joseph's ancestral home. Everyone was going back to their family of origin. And if you were going off to a far-off place, just imagine this. You also have to imagine you don't have the internet, no hotels.com to book ahead. You're probably going to beeline it for your family's house. Going back there, you're not going to go around checking all the inns when it's already packed. You just go back to your family's house, your relative's house. And because everyone else was returning home for the census as well, there just weren't enough space. There wasn't enough space in the home. The rooms would have gone to more important or higher ranking family members, like maybe an aging grandpa or grandma. So this is dramatic. It's a bit heartbreaking in our story, really, that there was no room for them at this critical point. So the question I ask is, what does that filled up house teach us? That's just what happened. That's in the story. And one of the lessons is that this house is a container. It's a holder. And only the container with space is capable of receiving the new gifts of life that are on offer. So we have this gift of life, no space in the home. So I invite us to think of ourselves as that guest home, that guest house. We have many rooms, many interior rooms, and maybe we've filled them with great things. Maybe they're filled to capacity. Things that we love, things that we prioritize, good things, things like family. But maybe there are some other things that have taken high priority that are really meant to be minor or not in our house at all. And often I believe God desires to birth new things in us, to give us new things, to help us unpack new things for us. But he finds that there's no room. He finds that we're too busy. We're too full of other higher priority matters. And we're majoring on things that are meant to be minor. In the church collective, we're often accused of this. People accuse the church of doing just this, putting tons of time, money, and emotional energy into causes and moral positions that seem, at least to those outside the church who are looking, to be disconnected from the loving, caring, healing, and helping Christ. I don't say this to make us feel bad at Christmas. No one wants to feel bad at Christmas. I say this just because it's so very common. Slowing down, being available, being with God, especially at Christmas time, is a challenge. This is hard. This is hard for all of us. It's hard for me. Even to find the time to write a message this week has been a challenge. It's a challenge to find time to create space at Christmas time. Having enough space to receive God's gifts doesn't happen. It doesn't just happen. It takes some intentionality. Richard Rohr writes this. I thought it lined up pretty nicely. We are all created with an inner restlessness, and it sends all of us looking for our true self, whether we know it or not. There's a God-sized hole waiting to be filled. And God actually creates the very dissatisfaction that finally only divine grace and love can satisfy. And I love that thought, that whatever it is that isn't Him that's filling you up, it's intentionally designed to be dissatisfying, to not measure up, to not quite be enough. We dare not try to fill our souls and minds with numbing addictions, diversionary tactics, or mindless distractions. The root of evil is much more selfishness, superficiality, and ignorance than the usually listed hot sins. And then he goes on to write, God hides and is found precisely in the depths of everything, even and maybe especially in the deep fathoming of our falling and failures. So the things that we often don't pay any attention to and say, nope, don't want to think about that, are the very places where God is most present. So the question is, how full are we this morning? How full have we been this season? During this stage in our lives, the very first thing that I came and talked to you about was that summertime, and it was talking about rest and the importance to create space in our lives. But now we're 5 months on, we're in Christmas, and probably that message has been lost in the shuffle, right? So there's a caution in the guest house part of the story. Be careful not to jam your guest house so full that it has no room left. Unfilled, there's always potential. There's always a chance that God could break in and do something more in you. More of his peace, joy, and love. So what might it mean for you to let, as that song says, let every heart prepare him room? So I have a confession for us to read. I'd like us to read this together as we've been doing this series. Oh God, the waiting is over. The time has come. You dwell among us. We marvel at the mystery of your birth. We are filled and guided by the Spirit as you open our eyes, our hearts, and our arms to receive you. Yes, we say, and yet we confess, instead of being drawn beyond our knowing into the call of your infinite light, we examine your coming amongst the busyness and fullness of our lives. We confess that instead of marveling at the vastness of your mercy, instead of allowing your Spirit to move within and among us, we resist the mystery of your presence. We confess our struggle to step forth with vulnerability, honesty, courage, dreams, hope, and celebration emanating from the depths of our hearts. Forgive us. O God, Emmanuel, in Jesus the Christ, you have come among us. You have given us life, and we are restored. In that very same verse, I'll read it again. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. So Jesus' birth is one of those incredible plot twists. A reversal. It's not what was expected. It's a shock to our system that never really leaves us. The King and Creator of the universe does find space to be born. Of course he does. But it's in a manger. It's the place where the animals eat and drink. It's the place where the most humble in the household, so the animals are still in the household, but they're the most humble. It's where they live and are sustained. So he takes the lowest possible place. That's so unexpected. And yet it's so deeply true of God's character, of who he is, that it resonates. It resonates within us, within every humble heart, and it draws worship out of us. We say, that is my king, the one who would do that. It's awe-inspiring. It's a reimagining of power, of might, of what's important. And if you think about it for any length of time, it's a reimagining of how and why everything was created. These choices that God made matter. They teach us profoundly. The manger is all of these things, and it's forever a central piece of the story. It's a gift given to the humble, to Mary. It's a gift given in the humblest of ways, in the manger. And it's a gift for every humble heart, including yours. The humble heart has room because it's not full of itself. It has room for others. It has room for more. The humble hearts in our story respond. So as the passage goes on, these humble people respond. First, Mary. She treasured these things. Verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So at a deep pondering level, at a contemplative level, Mary's humble heart knew this event to be pure and awesome gift. She knew something crazy was going on, something amazing, something awe-inspiring in its gift. divinity taking on flesh and binding with humanity. And then the humble hearts of the shepherds. They respond. They lift up their voices in praise. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So the shepherds get visited by angels, and they tell them things. Go here and see this. And they experience this God who sees them. They're shepherds. They're humble. They hang around in pretty terrible conditions, outside in smelly things. No one really wants to hang around with a shepherd, and yet the angels go to them, these humble hearts. So it's experiencing the God who sees, who knows, who foretells and promises great things, fills these shepherds up. They get filled up. They made room for him, and he showed himself faithful and praiseworthy to them. So this morning, as the band returns up, the day before we celebrate Christmas, we join in with Mary and the shepherds. This whole series, we've been preparing our hearts, and our soil is ready. Our hearts are ready. We receive God's gift as treasure. We respond, yes, let it be new in us, God. Whatever you have for us this season, whatever packages, whatever gifts that are yet to be unwrapped, we say yes. We want to unwrap those. And we marvel. We marvel at the vastness of God's plan, that the creator of the universe would come to such humble beginnings. We celebrate in exuberant praise what God has done and will continue to do. We praise God for all the things we've heard and seen this season. Think back just in the last few weeks, the things God has done for you, those moments where he's shown up, he's been real, he's been present, he's reminded you that he loves you. For all of those things, the joy, the peace, and love we sense as we gather together in the name of Jesus, and he inhabits our praises. So let us respond in worship. We have a couple more songs for you this morning. Just encourage you to sing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that this season, as we gather together, you inhabit our praises. December is a time where we look back and we think about your faithfulness. The ups and downs, yes, but we look for you. We look for the ways that you have been new in our life. We look for the ways that you have birthed new ideas, given us great gifts. And as we think about you coming to the earth, it reminds us of all the great things that you do all the time. That's just who you are. That's how you've been, that's how you were created. That's how you are. That's how you've created us, I mean. That's just part of your nature. And as we give gifts to each other, we participate in that. And it fills us up too. So thank you, Jesus. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand as we sing these songs in response.
Let every heart
He rules the world with
Thank you, Jesus, that you will reign forever. We believe that from our hearts. And I believe that you still have one more thing to say this morning, and that is that you have good gifts for us. And if you haven't received or you haven't seen the good gifts that God has for you, something for you that God has for you, I just encourage you to stay in a faithful place. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, because he does. I believe that. He has something for you. So if you haven't seen it yet, it's coming. It's still on its way. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, and unwrap, receive that gift that he has for you. And so, Father, I thank you that you've been with us this morning. You've been with us this entire series. As we've said, yes, let it be. So I pray that as we go, you would bless us. Fill us up with your peace, love, and joy this season. May we be a blessing to those we meet, to our families, to our friends, to our neighbors, to people who need that little bit of inspiration. Pray that in Jesus' name. Go with the peace of Christ. And Merry Christmas.